Simonetti. My name is Beverly.
Beverly.
If you are a member of the press, please respect our anonymity by not taking pictures or interviewing our members. Please consult with those at the convention information table for more details on our fellowship. Please be mindful that we are not the only guests of this hotel. All of our actions convey a message. With that firmly in mind, please be mindful that other guests around you, of the other guests around you, and let's make that message one of attraction, recovery, and responsibility. Smoking is not permitted in this hotel. Please smoke out front using the buck cans provided. Can we open this this workshop with a moment of silence, followed by the surrender prayer? God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
We would like to welcome you to the 22nd Annual New Jersey Regional Convention. We realize that recovery is a reality and that life without drugs is better than we ever imagined.
Yes.
We open our doors to other addicts, hoping that they can find what we have found. We do recover. I have asked an addict to read the identity statement.
Hi, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy. Someone has agreed to read. Why are we here?
I'm Brian the Medic.
Hey, Brian.
Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed the use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thanks, Brian. Someone else has agreed to read. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program?
My name is Cheryl Manatic.
Hey, Cheryl.
NA is a nonprofit fellowship of society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There's only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organization. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you use or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thanks. The topic of this workshop is parenting in recovery. So please help me welcome our first speaker, Lynette.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lynette. I'm an addict.
Hi, Lynette.
I would like to thank God for allowing me another day clean and allowing all of us to make it to this convention this morning. I need to say, like, I'm a little nervous, you know, and I know it's nothing but God getting ready to shake the truth out of me. You know, when I got this invite to come up here, they called me and told me that somebody had canceled. And, you know, would I be honored to accept the invitation to speak at the convention? And my first thing was, what's the topic? And they said, well, we already thought you'd be good at it. And they said, parenting. And, y'all, I need to tell y'all, that's one of the things that brought me in recovery, is wanting to be a good parent to my kids. You know, not to say that I don't struggle with it, and it's a struggle. And anyone knows that have kids, it ain't an easy job. Parenting do not come with instructions, you know, and it's something that I learn on a daily basis, you know. And like before I got clean, y'all, I was a parent, but I was not parenting. Because there's a difference. A parent is a mother, a father, a protector, a guardian. Parenting is putting the ing to the parent, is putting it word into action. So that's putting my mothering, having me mothering, you know, putting the mother into action. And I need to say, I'm honestly doing that. You know, like, we can sit around and say, yeah, I'm a good parent, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, it's a struggle. And I struggle with parenting every day. It's not easy. Sometimes I want to throw the towel in. I want to throw the towel in sometime, y'all, and say, you know what, man, this shit is, sometimes patience and tolerance and all this other stuff you have with these kids. And I know, like, anybody that got kids can relate. Like, I got three kids, y'all. I got one 23, I got one 13, and I got one 6, right? And they all girls. They all girls. And, look, I am the guardian of these girls, right? I need to protect these girls. And like, I'm the voice for these girls. And see, like, that's what I've learned in recovery about being a parent and parenting. That, like, I am the voice for these kids, you know? Like, it go on a whole deeper level. Like, I learned how people get in relationships and wait to have kids. Because it's not easy, especially when you're doing it alone. I'm a single parent. I'm a single parent, and on any given day, y'all, sometimes I just don't want to deal. I just don't want to deal, you know, like the patience and tolerance and having the little one, you know, and like my kids, right, they see my defects more than anybody else. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to know how a person living, ask their kids. Mm-hmm. Ask their kids, because they'll tell you. Because they're with their parent 24/7. And they see the ugly sides. Like, they see me in the morning sometime when I'm hollering. You know, when I don't have patience with them. You know, and like, how I practice, like, my parenting skills, y'all. Like, what I look at in order to give my kids what they need, it's like I go back and I look at some of the things that I didn't get when I was growing up. You know, like when I was young, my father wasn't there, so I didn't know how to love. You know, I didn't hug. We didn't hug in our house. You know what I'm saying? And since by being in Narcotics Anonymous, I've learned how to hug. So I'm able to teach my kids how to love. And I need to say, my little six-year-old, she hugged so much, she started hugging anybody, you know? And I instilled that in her to be loving and caring, you know? Like, one of the other things that I always thought that will benefit kids is, like, having we have, like, a little air-out time, me and my girls. We have a little air-out time where we'll sit and we just air each other out, you know? Tell each other how we feel. And you know what? One of the things my kids always bring to me, like, I yell too much. You know, and like, what I have learned is, yes, I do yell a lot. You know, and like, even though I've been around, you know, in the program for a while, right, I know I'm far from being perfect, you know, and I know I fall short. I still will beat one of their asses. You know, I still would give them a beating. You know, on any given day, you can find me in the house beating the ass, talking about, if you don't stop it, you know, mouth all twisted up, angry, you know. And telling you, sometimes I go there. Sometimes I go there. And if, like, if anybody say they don't, they lie, you know. And what else I've learned in being in recovery is that, like, being a parent, right, it's not only, like, buying them stuff. It's not only like taking them out, it's like being there for them emotionally, you know, not just being the mother, but actually standing up and being there for my kids, like being in the school, you know, like when my daughter's struggling with math, like it's my duty, because I'm her guardian, it's my duty to go to the school and try to get her some help, you know, when she's struggling in school with peer pressure. You know, and like, I need to be able to sit down and talk to my daughter, you know, and get her emotions in order, you know. And you know what? Sometimes, y'all, my 23-year-old daughter, right, I still want to be the guardian and protector of her. And she's grown, you know, and I still want to run her life sometimes, you know. And it's okay to like, give opinions and like, be there for your kids, but sometimes, you know, when they grown, like you, it's really none of your business. You know, in my active addiction, I only had one child. And like, my oldest one really suffered a lot from my using, you know. And like, I see that today, like how a lot of things, areas in her life that she's not good at. And still today, although I didn't do my job before because I was using with her, and I need to say, look, I'm not holding on to no more guilt and shame with her, you know what I mean, because I done been through some steps, and you know, no more remorse about how I lived with her, you know what I mean. I'm okay with, I only fed her oodle noodles and shit, you know what I mean. I'm all right with that today, you know what I mean, because if she need food today, I'm able to give her some more than oodle noodles, you know. And I see where she struggles, you know, because she didn't get the parenting from me that my other two was getting. They never seen me use. They never seen me use. My 13-year-old, I got clean when she was 11 months old. My little one, she don't have a clue. She still really don't know the meaning of these meetings, but she know I go. You know what I mean? She don't really know the whole true meaning of addiction or how I live, but she know I go to meetings. You know, and she stayed anywhere, too. You go on a meeting, Mom, you know, sometimes I'm like, be quiet. You don't know what, you know, who's around listening. But my oldest daughter, I see where she suffered a lot from my active addiction. And I still there for her. You know, like our relationship has got so much better since I got clean. You know, and like, thank God for these steps, because I was able to sit down and make amends to my oldest daughter and let her know that I really apologize for the way I was living, you know. And the actual best amends is that I'm not doing the same things I'm doing no more, you know. And like, my daughter can count on me today. Although she's grown and out the house, my daughter calls me and asks me for my advice, you know. She finally got over the resentment she had for me, you know. The other day, we got into a situation where, you know, I voiced my opinion, you know, and we was in conversation, and I voiced my opinion, and she wasn't too well with it, and she left out crying, you know. And usually my thing is, yeah, screw her, you know, if she want to be like that, shit, she don't call me, I ain't got to be giving her no money or nothing, you know. But I've learned, like, by working these steps, right, that I don't have to hold on to resentments. I can actually make amends real quick. You know what I mean? And what I did, like, I know my daughter, like, don't have the 12 steps like I have. And she really don't know what to do with her feelings. You know, and still, look, I'm still her mother, right? And I still need to help guide her and help her, you know, in any type situation. And see, I'm aware that my daughter don't know what to do with her feelings. So I try to make it a little easier for her when we get into conflict or if she's in any type of situation to, like, give her what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous to help her. Even if she don't understand it, right, she will get some type of understanding out of it, you know, to get her through a situation, you know. And then the other day, like, I immediately called her and said, like, I text messaged her and said, I love you. You know, like, I opened the door to, like, you know what? I'm not mad, and I don't want you to be mad, you know. And, like, I was saying to myself, well, I hope she not, you know, don't text me back and don't say anything. You know, I hope she texts me back. And she texted me back and said, Ma, I love you too. You know what I'm saying? And y'all, I need to say it. I love my kids so much. So much. I will do anything. And it talks about, right, like defining parenting, right? And it talks about being the protector, right? Sometimes y'all, look, I'm too protective. You know what I mean? Fuck with my kids and look, it's on. You know, and it's on. And sometimes I need to watch that. I need to watch that because, like, I need to say I ain't well, and I still can get batty as hell at any given time. You know what I mean? Especially if you causing harm to something that I really love, especially my kids. You know, and like I said, that's one of the things I live for is my kids. You know, I got a 13-year-old daughter that I actively use while I was carrying her, right? And check this out. My daughter, you know, like, had guilt and shame about that, thinking she might have some issues or whatever. You know what? My daughter stayed on the honor roll. She stayed on the honor roll. And like, whatever I have taught her since I've been clean is, like, to express your feelings. Because I know how it is being a child and not being able to talk about your feelings. And see, that's one of the things I try to tell my kids. Talk about your feelings, you know, and I make it open for them to come to me and talk about their feelings, you know. And like my 13-year-old honor roll student, good girl. I'm talking good girl. She ain't trying to wear them little tight-ass shirts. She don't even like her pants tight. You know what I'm saying? She don't even check this out. She just recently learned how to get from one side of town to the other. She do not roam the streets. You know what I'm saying? And you know where it come from? Check this out. It come from me. Because she don't see it going on in my house. And I sit back and watch that. How we have people, parents that are actively running. Mm-hmm. Their kids are actively running. You know what I'm saying? But see, if I see in my daughter just what I have, how I sit still and I relax and I'm content at home, my kids are the same way. My kids are the same way. And, like, I am so grateful that my 13-year-old is not fast. I'm telling you, I have had no problems out of that girl, knock on wood. I have had no problems out of her being fast, you know, running around trying to find boys, you know. And but I leave it open, though, you know, and I let her know that I know that's what God made, man for woman, woman for man. And eventually, one day, it's going to come to a point where you are going to like a boy. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm trying to let her know, this is what you look for. Because nobody never told me that. This is what you look for in a man. You know what I'm saying? So some of the things I try to instill in my kids are some of the things that I didn't get when I was younger. You know, and not to knock my mother. She did the best that she can do. She did what she did, and that's how she did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I think about, like, why we didn't sit at the dinner table at a certain time, 5 o'clock, like my friends did. You know what I'm saying? My mother ain't had time for that. Check this out. I don't either. We don't sit home at 5 o'clock eating no dinner because you know why? I'm single parent. Check this out. I got to work. I be at work. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just do what I got to do with my kids, and I just show up for them, and I let them know I love them. I love them, and like, it's so important to me to be a good parent. And not to say I don't fall short, y'all. I'm telling you, really. You can catch me in the morning in my house, and I'm like a bat out of hell, especially if I'm running late. You know, I start cussing and, sometimes them kids just get under your skin. And like I might blurt some words out that I had to turn right around and apologize for. And I know everybody can relate, like, this little motherfucker here. You know, and sometimes my little one is such a challenge. You know, she's such a challenge. You know why? Because she's just like me. She's just like me. And like, man, some days I'd be like, man, this little girl. You know, and like, my first sponsor, right, she got kids, right? And I always admired how she is so soft-spoken and calm with her kids. I'd be like, damn, how that work? You know, and I watched her and learned how, like, how she would be on the phone. She would be on the phone talking to me. And anytime one of her kids asked for her attention, forget me, she's, hold on. And I admired that. And I started doing that, right, with my kids. You know, even if I'm on the phone, I'll say, hold on. Can you hold on a minute? And, like, give my daughter attention. Because you know what? If I ain't giving it to them, they going to try to get it somewhere else. You know, and, like, I got girls. You know, and I want them to grow up to be respectable young women. You know what I mean? And I don't want them running around just trying to look for attention anywhere. Check this out. Like I did. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want that. So I try to practice that with my kids. Like when they trying to get my attention, you know, I try to take a minute to stop what I'm doing and like pay attention to what they're saying. You know, because you never know what they're trying to say. You never know what they're trying to say. And I watch women that are parenting and see what I can get from them, you know, because it's real important to me to make sure my kids' life is, like, much better than mine was, you know. And that's why I keep coming around, y'all, because the more I get better, the more they're going to get better. You know, and like, I am the guardian of them, and I got ways to go. I got a little six-year-old. So I'm going to be doing this for a little while longer, y'all, even though sometimes, like, look, I don't want to do it. Sometimes I sit there and say, man, I wish I never had no kids. You know what I mean? And, like, and I'm honest with it. And I remember I used to be afraid to say that. Because I used to think, you know what, you a mother, you don't supposed to say stuff like that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Sometimes I want to say, man, this fucking girl getting on my nerve. You know, even sometimes when I've got to struggle and find a babysitter, I get mad and angry. Like, damn, why I got to find a babysitter? Yeah, look, I'm going to tell y'all, I got some resentments with their father because he ain't doing his part. You know what I'm saying? Like, where's my help? You know what I mean? But still, I got to do my part. Right? And be there for my kids. You know, he don't participate. So it puts me in a position where I got to participate even more. You know, even though, and allow my kids to talk about how they feel about their father not participating. Because I know that is very harmful. Very harmful to a kid, because I went through the same thing of not having my father in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I resented that shit. I'm telling you, I just put a tattoo on my leg with my father's name. Part of my healing process. Part of my healing. I never owned my father. I never owned him because he abandoned me. I never even met him. When I met him, I didn't meet him. When I seen him, he was actually in a coffin. Right? And, I know how it is not to be. So if you just paying child support, come on, do more. You know that commercial? Child support is more than just money. That shit get me every time. It gets me every time. Because kids need both of their parents. You know what I mean? Even though you're not still messing with the mother, still be a part. Even if you're not still messing with the father, they're your kids. And they don't have to suffer. They don't have to suffer because of that. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's the position I'm in now with my kids. Trying to make them see that, you know what? No matter what, you still going to be all right. You still going to make the honor roll. You still going to do this. You know what I'm saying? And allow them to be able to talk about whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know, and, you know, just y'all doing the best that I can do. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I was watching the Oprah Winfrey show maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I heard them talking about how kids grow up in a single-parent home, and they was pretty much bashing it. They was pretty much bashing it. They come out like this, they come out like that, and not necessarily. Because I've seen some kids that came from a single-parent home and is in college and got degrees all up their ass. So it's not true. And you know what? Check this out. I caught some feelings about that shit. I really did. You know what I mean? Because they going to base it upon something that happened before. You know what I mean? Just because that was back then. Today is totally different. A lot of parents push schooling, education today. You know what I mean? We realize today that education is very important. You know, and that's one of the things that I tell my kids, look, go to school, get good grades. You know, I'm able to push my daughter. If you got a D, you can do better. You always can do better. And see, the blessing is, y'all, I get to see my work. Tell you, I sit back and watch my kids, and I was like, damn, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I looked at my 13-year-old daughter the other day, and I said, you know what? You really should be grateful, because you're doing a good damn job with what you got. You know what I mean? Even though sometimes, you know, paying babysitters and all that old other stuff, you know, like I said, sometimes I just want to give it up, you know, but I see the benefits. I see the benefits by me staying in position and staying in this program, y'all. I'm telling you, I am so grateful for this program. I'm telling you, I can never say how grateful I am for Narcotics Anonymous. Because if it wasn't for this program, y'all, telling you, like I said, only thing I had in my refrigerator for my oldest daughter to eat, she couldn't even eat it. It was baking soda. I had baking soda, water, and I might have, you know, you can buy 4 packs of Oodle noodles for $1. That's all I would have. That's all I had. I ain't go to no school with her because I was too embarrassed on how I was looking. You know what I'm saying? Now my daughter can call me. Look, I'm flying over there. You know, I'm in the school in the principal's face. Before I ain't going in there not with these beat up Skippies I got on and with this hat. No, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. And I was embarrassed, so I know damn well my daughter was. You know what I'm saying? And like, I remember not doing all them things for her. You know, but see, I'm still making amends to her because I don't do what I used to do. I don't talk to her like I used to talk to her. You know what I mean? I remember I used to say, call her all sorts of names. You know, and today I'm not doing that. You know, although she grown and everything, I'm not talking to her like she a piece of shit today. I respect you, you respect me. And see, and that's what I learned here. If I want respect, I have to give respect. Even to my kids. Even though I am the parent, I still gotta respect them. You know what I'm saying? And you might not think so, because I'm the parent, I'm the mother. I ain't got to show you no respect. Yes, I do. If I want respect, and I learned that with my oldest daughter. I ain't respect her, and she ain't respect me. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I have to do in order to get respect. I have to respect my kids, respect their feelings, respect their space. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? I am so willing to do that, y'all. I'm telling you, I am so willing to do that. And like everybody that know me know, my kids are so important to me. You know, sometimes people see me and they say, are you ever alone? Look, I'm like in my glory right there. My sister got my kids. Look, I'm in my glory. Look, I went shot in the Long Branch and shot out. Look, I don't want nobody to see me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't get it often. You know what I'm saying? And I enjoy being around my kids. I really do. I enjoy, but everybody, come on, kick it, be for real. Everybody need a break. Everybody need a break. You know, you need your own time. You know, I don't know, y'all. If it wasn't for this program, I wouldn't be able to do none of this stuff that I'm doing. If it wasn't from coming in here, applying 12 steps, you know, and living the steps, and being willing to change, you know, even though some days I still can get, you know, out of character, you know, and I still get impatient, and I don't have tolerance for the kids, you know, and I might blurt out of something that's not appropriate, you know, but I'm here to, like, change my behaviors and own it. And see, I'm able to go to my kids and say, you know what? What I just said was not nice. It was not nice, and I really apologize, you know, and I want them to be able to do that too. You know, I want them to be able to, you know, accept their wrongs, you know, and I have got so much better, because I know before, I used to wait days before I go to my oldest and say anything. You know, I remember not talking to her for like a month, you know, but now it's like a couple of hours, because I don't want them to hurt, you know, and I don't want to got the 12 steps. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just keep coming, y'all, and keep living and being a parent and a guardian to my kids and doing the best that I can do. Thanks for letting me share.
Can you help me welcome our second speaker, Eddie Moo? Oh.
Family, we come at me, Eddie Moo.
Hey.
First and foremost, I thank God for another day clean and another chance to participate in this journey called life, because this is a journey we're on. I like to thank the community for asking, for taking the risk to ask me to share on parenting recovery. I'm a little nervous. I got some experience in this topic. It's an emotional time for me this time of year. Last Saturday, June 30th, I celebrated my 47th birthday. The 15th this month, next Saturday, I'll celebrate 15 years. I don't got it yet, though. What happened? I'm in the process of getting divorced. Back in the 60s, man. I was raised in North. I was real young. I was about 4 or 5. I got hit by a car. Ran across the street to see my mother, and I got hit by a car, almost lost my arm. And back in the day, my mother sued, and I guess it was a couple $1,000s, and my father had gambled all the money. And he had a gambling problem. And I remember this, and I remember when I was like 8 years old, he went out to gamble, because back in the day, they had those places to go to gamble. And he came back, my mother stuck on those chairs by the doorknobs. And you know, before you can't get in. And he was knocking on the door, telling me, Eddie, open the door. And my mother's telling me, better not open the door. So I was like caught in the middle. I was messed up. So I was taught to stuff a lot of my feelings. And I remember, like, when I was younger, I was raised in fear. My father left, from that time on, he went to New York. He went to Harlem. We stayed in North. My mother had 4 kids. I was the oldest. I didn't want that responsibility. You know what I mean? I had a younger brother who was 13 months younger than me. He was a mature one. Always trying to put the responsibility on him. And like what happened is, like, as I was coming up, I mean, I killed this little bird. This little bird, you know, the everyday spiral birds. I killed one, and 5 guys, I guess it was bullies, said, why you killed my bird? And one day it was chasing me, you know, I was in Prince Street, and I got hit. And I rolled over and started urinating on myself. I went upstairs, I changed my clothes, put my clothes in the garbage bag, and I threw it away. I ain't tell nobody until I got clean. And so all my life, I remember seeing my mother went through some things, seeing something, because she was an alcoholic in the attic. I remember walking in the room, seeing her doing some things. I closed the door. I like she ain't see me. And I never said nothing. But I was taught, I always feared my mother. So, like, I ain't learned how to be a parent as I was coming up. You know what I mean? Like, the parents pose, like, a parent poses, like, build your self-esteem, your self-worth. I lost that. I never knew how to, like she said, like show love. I never knew how to talk and sit in front of my father and say, that's what's going on with me. You know what I mean? It always been that surface stuff. Every summer, he'd pick us up, we'd go to New York, and had a stepmother at the time, thank God for her, and he used to drop me off in the movies, leave, drop me and my brothers, my sisters off in the movies, leave, and come back and pick us up. He said, take us to the barbershop, drop us off, pay the guy and leave, and like come back and pick us up. Sometimes he's been late. So he had a habit of dropping me off, so I felt abandoned, but I ain't knew till I got clean. But I felt some kind of way that I couldn't bond, you know what I mean? And like coming up, and my mother, man, she went through her life. She'd been an incest survivor, she had been raped, she had been shot before, you know what I mean? She did the best that she know how. But she went through some things too, because my grandmother, like we had four girls. And what happened is I felt going to my grandmother's house that my grandma didn't like my mother. You'd feel that, because my mother was a twin and a boy died, and my grandmother wanted a boy. And so I felt hostility, yes. You know what I mean? I felt that, you know what I mean? And it did something to me. I became shut down, I became sneaky. Know what I mean? If I want some food in the refrigerator, I just sneak and get it instead of asking for it. Know what I mean? And this is before the drugs. Know what I mean? And what happened is, man, like when I went to service, I went to the Army. You know, I came up, went to karate school. I succeeded in that. I had got me a degree in the art. Know what I mean? Back in the 70s, you know, I raised with Bruce Lee and all that kind of stuff. Know what I mean? And then I went to service. And I remember, man, like going to the service and like, come on home back to the projects, and and my father came, and like he had some coke, and he's like, how much you want? And he pours some out, and he stopped, and it was no bond. Now I'm a father. See, I realized my father never knew his father, so he couldn't like teach me how to be a man, and I met my son's mother. Man, I met my son's mother when I was like 13 years old. She ain't getting no sex till she was 18. And we was together, right? You know what I mean? She was a ballerina dancer. I was in martial arts. I came home and like took me 6 months to do a bag of heroin. And and I was off to the races. You know what I'm saying? And we had my son. I remember, man, having my son and using and like selling the TVs. I remember like dropping off to my sister's house, to my mother's house, because I needed to get high. I was sick, I was ill, and I remember telling my sister, watch my son, and he said, Dad, I don't want to be with you, and I smacked him, right? And like it did something to me, and like I got high, you know what I mean? And I kept that behavior up, you know what I mean? And like it hurted me, you know what I mean? And like when he got older. I think he was like 8 years old, and I finally got clean. And when I got clean, man, it was funny, man, how God worked in my life. When I got clean, he was about 7, going on 8. Now my father left when I was 8. Now his mother and her boyfriend at the time, because we had broke up, and he was a drug dealer, they lost the place. Dyfus called me and said, "You got two choices: either the state will pick him up, or you get custody, you get temporary custody, and you see how you work out, you get full custody." And I was in Eaton, I moved from North to Eatontown in 95. And I got him, right? I had got him at the beginning of that year, and I was scared as hell. I was going to meetings. I was talking about the fear I have of like, now I got to stand up now, stand up to the plea. You know what I mean? All that fear I had, I was fearful. I never liked responsibility. Know what I mean? Because I was a single man. No, I was a weekend father. Know what I mean? You pissed me off. All right, you go to your mother's house. You know, I had some, like, you go to your mother, go to whoever. Know what I mean? But now you're talking about 24/7. So I had a lot of fear. And I was going to meetings talking about it and saying how fearful I was. And what happened is when the day came to get my son, I got him. We settled down in an apartment. I still had a lot of fear going on. We had a one-bedroom apartment. I had a sofa bed. I said, Mustafa, you sleep here. I try to make things more comfortable. And, like, I was going to the school system. I had to get transferred from North to Eatontown. There's a lot of fear going through that. Coming to the rooms, going to the single parents. And, like, the females, y'all showed me what to do. You know what I mean? Like, when the transfers and getting the shots. You know what I mean? They need 3 shots and all that kind of shit. And what happened is I remember, man, like one day the teacher called me up and said the move was acting out, and he came home and I had whooped him. Took a belt, I whooped him like 5 times, and I said he never acted out, the teacher. And what happened is he was going through a transition from being from North to Eatontown. I went through a transition going from North to Eatontown. So imagine an 8-year-old kid going through. And somebody suggested to me, why don't you go to a parenting school? The first thought I got said, hell with truth, I know what the fuck I'm doing, because that's the rebellious side, my disease. Say, I know what the fuck I'm doing. And what happened is, after a while, I became open to that. And I went there. Now, I mean, it was like twice a week. I went there, they told me about how you be consistent, how you do the homework, you don't do the homework for them. You know what I mean? And then I realized, like when you go to the bathroom, lift the toilet seat up, some tissue, wipe this, the rings, flush it. You know, I'm going to the laundromat, doing the laundry. I was doing all that. Scared as hell. Still ain't learned how to hug my son yet. Because me and my mother, we ain't hugged until I got clean. You know what I mean? And I still get emotional about that shit. My home group. I love my home group. East Orange VA Hospital, Sancho on Sunday. I don't know how much time I had, but my mother was terminally ill. We used together. Our last 3 years, we got high, sniffing heroin. She got hepatitis C, cirrhosis of the liver, high blood pressure, a diabetic, and she smoked. And she was going through Alzheimer's now. And I always was afraid of my mother. So I was afraid to hug her. I used to cringe when I hugged my mother, because we used to smoke weed and when I was 16. So when I got old and got clean and now I ain't getting high, how you hug your mother? I used to see my sister do this shit and lay in my mother's lap, and I said to myself, how the fuck you do that? How do you do that? And I was so afraid to do that. And I always wanted in my heart to do that. I always wanted to take my mother out before she go. And I went to my home group and I asked somebody, I need some help to take my mother. I never been out on my mother one-on-one, never. So I got clean. You know what I mean? And we did some things about going to Spain's and North and for dinner, because I wouldn't do it by myself. And you said you come with me, you bring your mother, I'm bring my mother, bring me. Right? We planned it like that. We went to Spain's. I'm sitting down with my mother, and I'm twitching. I can't sit still. I'm hype. I'm sitting still. She's right there. Like a table like this. She's right there looking at me. And I'm like going through some feelings. I'm looking at my fam. Damn, where they at? You know what I mean? And I'm like, let me call this guy up, man. Where you at? I'm at Spain's. But it's 5 Spain's in North. And what happened is they was on another spot, and I was here. And I said, oh, all right, God. Now I see what you're doing. You know what I mean? And so I just surrendered, and I started talking to my mother. And I told her, I said, I wish I could have been a better son. I'm going to try to be a better son to you. We need to do this more often. I was petrified, but it was like a relief to tell my mother that. Because I never did that. And I finally told my mother after dinner, man. We had a nice time. We laughed. You know what I mean? We felt a little comfortable. She felt a little uncomfortable because she ain't never did this too. You know what I mean? So, and she recovering. She goes to other program because she celebrated 15 years March 4th. You know what I mean? And I found my mother here. You know what I mean? That's the fun thing, because she got clean first. And I said, why you got clean? You know what I mean? They brainwashing you. She said, well, you better bring your ass to me because your brain need to be washed. And I found her in here. You know what I mean? So now we're talking recovery now. You know what I mean? And I needed to do that. I'll be a better parent, I'll be a better son. You know what I mean? And then while I'm hugging her, learn how to hug her, I transfer that to hugging my son. Because I said, cringe hugging my son. I still ain't get to the point where I kiss my son yet. I ain't get to that point yet. You know what I mean? But they told me, go home and hug your son. And I said, go home from the meeting and I'm going to hug my son. And then I go home, and then I bitch up. I couldn't do it. Then I'd be rehearsing my head. You know what I mean? I go back to the meeting and I talk about it. And they said, well, tell your son to hug him before you go to bed. So I told him, I said, Mo, before you go to bed, you got to give me a hug. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that's a go. I did it. We did it, though. But I hugged. You know, we did pack. But it wasn't, I couldn't hug him without, like I hugged anybody else in the rooms. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that with him. And I kept doing it. And I was getting better with that, man. And then I was going to meetings. I was taking him to the meetings with me. And then after a while, I stopped, after a while, I was going to meetings, leaving home. And that wasn't a good idea. Because one day I went to a meeting, because I couldn't find a babysitter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you don't find out how self-centered you are until you became, before I became a single parent. I found out how self-centered I was, because I was buying gators, I was buying this, I was hanging out over here, I was going over here. When I became a single parent, all that shit stopped. I couldn't date no more, I couldn't go out no more. I was on the phone, I was cooking some spaghetti, and I'd help him with the homework. I couldn't do the homework for him. I said, move. Because I was verbally abused when I was coming up. And what happened, my mother told me when I was younger, the older you get, the stupider you get. Because I came up, we had to wash the damn diapers in the toilet. I had to learn how to braid my sister's hair. Well, you ain't do it right, she just verbally abused me. So when I got my son, when I first got him, when I was using, I was verbally abusing him. And when I got clean, I was verbally abusing him. And then I went to anger management because he had some anger problems, because it was hard to tell your boy, like why his mother ain't calling him on his birthday or why she ain't just calling. You know what I mean? So he has some issues with his mother, like abandonment. So I had to go to because he got in trouble in school fighting. So they told me I had to go to anger management. I gave him some step work. You know what I mean? I had to talk to him, like, what's going on. I had to ask, I said, remember when I smacked you? He said, yeah. And he said some other things I forgot about. But I let him vent that to me. You know what I mean? And this is for mothers and fathers. With men, because they told me, like, when you raising, like a man or father raising his son, you're not raising this as a son. They taught me when you raise a son, you're raising a husband. So I had to get in my mindset, how to, like, you don't just give. It's about, if you want, you have to give. Take the garbage out. Clean your room. Little stuff like that to start off with. You know what I mean? And make sure that every Saturday, because they taught me every Saturday morning is cleanup day. Know what I mean? So every Saturday, 7 o'clock, you're getting up, you clean the house, you're going to the laundromat. Here's $5, here's my $5, go to the machine. I did all that with him. Just we put the money here, put the clothes here, the detergent, all that. I learned how to do that, and I did it with him for years in and years out. It took me 2 years before he got it right, by wiping the toilet seat off, by doing the laundry. It took me 2 years, but I kept doing it. And I learned how to build his self-esteem up, because I wasn't taught to build my father. Until the day when I got custody, he felt some kind of way, because he still had a relationship with my son, not like he should. I got a niece and nephew in South Carolina. My father drive from New York all the way down there, all the time, but he don't come get his grandson. Because I know he's kind of, because maybe he felt a little guilty because of what he did to me, and I'm doing to my son what he should do to me. But I never told him that. Now I'm trying to be comfortable, because the step the teachers be understanding, rather be understood. And I don't know, man. I'm still working on that. Know what I mean? But my son, man, I think I learned some things by anger management. I learned by going to parent school. I had to stop smacking my son. He was like about 14, 15 years old. And I used to be smacked, you know what I mean? I didn't want to punch him, so I said smack, because he got too old to beat with a belt. So, when he started to smell himself, his chest came out, because he's strong now, you know what I mean? He was strong. And so he said something, I smacked him, right? And one day, we was going at it, we was in the house, he pulled this son, he ain't do it. And I was getting angry. And he said like this, you want to smack me? And that shit fucked me up. It is like somebody stabbed me in the heart when he did that. You know what I mean? And I knew right there and there, smacking was gonna work no more. And I had to step my game up again, and trying to sit down and talk, explain to him why I don't like the behavior you're doing, what I need for you to do. You know what I mean? And it got a little better. You know what I mean? And it's a lot, man, that emotional stuff. And like, I remember when he was 18. Man, he was 18. He's 21 now, right? But when he was 18, I got him through school. No, he was like 17. He was 17 years old. I'll never forget. I bought him a car. I took him to the drive-in. Now I'm going to show him how to drive. I paid for 2 months. I paid for the driving school first. Then after that, then cause I had a Cadillac, Seville, right? So you know, just jump from Seville. So I'm gonna go to school first. You pay $250. You teach the basics. Then I'm gonna take you, and I'm gonna see what you know. Then I'm gonna teach you what I know. You know what I mean? What happened is his mother called. I think his birthday was coming up. His mother called, and I'm thinking about buying a car. I'm looking for a car, and she don't call out of nowhere. She said, Eddie. I said, yeah. She said, my birthday coming. I said, I know, yeah. She said, what you getting them? What the fuck you mean I'm getting them? What I'm getting them? She said, I think we should do this, we should do that. Out of fucking nowhere. Don't worry about what I'm getting them. What you getting them? I said, he ain't here from you so long. You don't ask, coming out of nowhere, and then you don't try to tell me why I should buy my son. You know what I mean? And all the time I had my son, I never kicked it back in. I never did it. God help me. I swear to God, I never kick her back in. Even when I want to, every day, since I got him, I always say, pray for your mother. Before you go to bed, I said, Mustafa, pray for your mother. And he got older, and he started getting angry. He just say, for what? I said, hey, I changed. That's still your mother. You know what I mean? You still got to pray for her, man. And the day is like, she still, you know what I mean? She's in and out. You know what I mean? And I still don't kick her back in. You know what I mean? I pray for her. You know what I mean? Because she's my son's mother, man. And I want, because no matter what they do, and no matter what they do, that's still their mother. They still love their mother, but they probably show a different way. They act out in different ways, man. You know, if I never got him in Eaton Town, my son probably would have been a game banger. He probably had a body by now. For real. Because he had a lot of, he was that angry. If I didn't take him out of North, he probably had a body by now. And so I thank God that God, my life was already mapped out. God had me go down to Eaton Town, South Jersey, the suburbs, and park the car and 7-Eleven, leave the keys in there, and still be there. Know what I mean? When he was young, I had a Pop Warner football. Know what I mean? And like Pop Warner football, like that was different for me too, because like I said, my father left and I was coming up. So when my son was playing football game at practices, I had to stay there. I mean, sitting there with a bench, with a little chair, folding chairs, sitting there, and like, and telling myself, dang, I gotta go home and cook, and I still do the same routine. From he was 8 years old to he was in high school. When he was a sophomore, he was a freshman. And all that time, he was in track, he was in wrestling, he was in football, and he was in baseball. Every summer, then I had to show up and be a participating parent at the game. That's part of my men's process. And going to PTO meetings, going to parent-teacher associations, going to a different teacher because he couldn't learn this, so I had to go here and they're trying to qualify him for this. And I'm going to say, nah, let's look at it this way. But I learned a lot, man. I went through a lot of like, emotions. And I remember when he got 18. Now, we got 18, and I got him out of high school. We got him a touch, and it was a good thing. And now he's 18 years old. Now he don't have to do no dishes. You don't got to do no chores now. You think you just lay up? I said, move. It ain't like that. You know what I mean? No, listen, I'm proud, bro. I'm proud. You went to school. You did your thing. But you know what? And he said, and he started saying something. I said, well, you go back to your mother house. He said, all right, fuck, I go back to my mother house. I packed this shit up. Went to the North. Dropped his ass off. And 1 year went by. And within that year, he was mad at me. Now I'm going to call him up, and he said, he called me dude. So, he's talking the street, like, yo, dude, or something like that. I said, I'm not your dude, man. I'm your father. And he trying to disrespect me. I felt unappreciated. You know what I mean? Because all that did for you, now you don't give me your ass to kiss. But that's what teenagers do. You know what I mean? And then my job was that, of course, you sit. I don't got to be sick with you. So I had to keep calling, even though I didn't want to do it, because I left messages saying, Moses is your dad. Now I'm just calling, say, I love you. And I was struggling with that. You know what I mean? But I was doing it anyway. I love you. I'm here. And I did that for a whole year without no response. And then one day, a year went by. He was 19 years old. He was in struggle. Something happened. He had to move. And he asked me if he could come back home. And being working the program and having some people in my life who successful, like being parents, I suggested to him, I got some rules at the house now. these are the rules. Are you willing to abide by the rules? He said, yeah. Now I'm gonna say, I brought him back down Eatontown, and I'm a carpenter, so I was doing the job. I need some help. I said, you gonna help me? He said, yeah, I pay you. I told him I paid him. We did a job. I went to pay him. He said, Dad, you don't gotta pay me. He said, I'm gonna earn my keep. And I knew that he was getting better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He said, I'm gonna earn my keep. He said, that's all right. You know what I mean? I knew I did my job. I did my job, man, because he had to grow into his own truth. Now, I mean, he had to go out there and get his own experience. Know what I mean? And he came back a man. Know what I mean? So I said, thank you, God, I'm doing my job. Know what I mean? You know, I'm strict, but I'm fair. Know what I mean? I was strict as hell. I was a sergeant in the service. So I was real strict. Move, do this. Let's do this. No, you gotta cut the grass. You gotta do this. Know what I mean? Let's do it together. You gotta go to the job. Know what I mean? But I was fair. Know what I mean? I did it, man. Know what I mean? And he's 21 now. And he told me like he wasn't come here. And he told me, he said, Dad, he said, I'm glad you were strict when you were. Because I'm the man I am because of you. Because a lot of my friends' fathers wasn't there. And you was there. You know what I mean? You showed concern. Because all the kids want is attention. All the boys want. See, I ain't knew this when I was coming up. I ain't knew this shit. But since I raised my son for eight, almost those years, I realized by being a father, because I should get at those white guys down South Jersey, because in Providence and North, there was no fathers. There was your pops. Your pops was drunk. Get Mr. Jesse. He's drunk. Let's help Mr. Jesse up. Let's help Mr. Wilson up. Because they know in Pride they all drink together. So you help them upstairs. You know what I mean? So it was your pops or your you go by your first name. But I never heard Dad until I went down South Jersey. And I argued with one of my friends was a white guy. He's an Italian dude, right? So I argued with his son, right? Because my son and his Italian kid, Frankie, they grew up together since they was young. Right, so I got pictures of graduation. They was hanging out on their prom, right? But he just said, "Dad," I said, "That ain't your dad." I'm trying to tell him what to call his father. I said, "That ain't your dad. That's your pops." Now I never heard that. Dad sounds so corny. That's like fucking Beaver shit. That's even the Beaver, right? I said, "What's it? That ain't your dad. That's your pops, man. Get with the program, man. That's your pops, man." He said, "Nah, it's my dad." Until my son started calling me dad, and then I said, "Oh shit, that's what he meant." Because I actually raised him, my son. Mm-hmm. And I seen the benefit of a man raising a young man into a husband, you know what I mean, to be a productive member of society. I don't want to raise no mama's boy. See, I don't want to raise a man for a woman to take care of his ass. See, we got to watch how we raise kids. Because I'm female, I tell my sisters, don't do everything for him.
That's right.
Because all you do, you don't mess him up. You don't look for a woman to take care of his ass. Mm-hmm. They told me you have to raise him to be somebody's husband. Know what I mean? Like, them do work around the house. When I do work, you doing work. When I'm doing this, you doing that. When I got to cut the grass, I'm doing it with the chick one time. I'm sure I put the oil, mixture in the engine, and your ass don't do it. Dishwasher, one time a week. Now, I don't use no dishwasher every day. Know what I mean? And so that it happens, man. Know what I mean? My son, like right now, he ain't where I wanted to be at, because I want to go to school. Because Mo was strong, he was fast, and I want to go to college. Coach was calling me up, could you ask Mustafa, please get him to go come here? And I said, I'm trying to, but he ain't want to go to school. You know what I mean? Because he still had them anger problems, man. And, he just wanted that work. You know what I mean? But know what? I still count my blessings. He into Ismail, right? He was into real, yeah, deep. Know what I mean? He want to go overseas and go to the University of Medina over there and study second language. But right now, he's 21 years old. He don't have no kids. He's not gang banging. And he got somewhere to go where he want to do. Because to me, he's still trying to find himself. But he ain't out there. He into a religion. Know what I mean? And so I'm grateful for that. Because I heard worse stories than that. And but man, like, And where I'm at today, man, like I'm going through a divorce, right? I met a sister, She had a house and nice built. She seen a brother with a 401k plan, and I was doing my thing with my son. I thought we'd have missed this thing together, you know what I mean? But I lost my perspective because I focused on what she had instead of looking at the person inside. And in the midst of that, she adopted her niece. She was 2 years old. She was the five foster parents at 2 years old, was the five foster parents before at 2 years old. When we got her, she was pumping. She was 2 years late and she was pumping, right? She was 4 years old, she was masturbating. So what happened is she had some issues and being recovering addict and being compassionate. I know that it's gonna take some time, a little more time with this girl. My wife didn't see it like that. You know what I mean? She's more, she's a yeller, but she's not in the room, she was a yeller. And I know what happened when you verbally abuse somebody, because I got messed up. I was messed up by being verbally abused. That's when I realized that when I did my step work, I'm a carpenter for almost 20 something years, for a former come by, when I was new, when a former come by, I used to mess up or get nervous. I didn't know why, but I realized because I was verbally abused, so when authority came around, I just get nervous from the past. But doing step work, I don't have that fear no more. And I know that the damage that you'll do when you verbally abuse a kid, you know what I mean? Because you do damage. And I was trying to tell her, be more compassionate. You know what I mean? She went through some stuff. You know what I mean? We took a test. She never been penetrated, but something been done to her. For she didn't know how to please herself. I had to catch her at 6 years old. You know what I mean? And she had to go counseling. She's 7 now. And I'm going through separation, but I still love her. She's not my daughter, but I call her my daughter. And because she showed me a lot about me. She teaching me how to be compassionate. I remember she was young. She was telling me, Eddie, could you please come tuck me in? Now, I remember that she first said that I started crying because I ain't ever did that with my son. So God gave me the opportunity to be a parent again, but with a girl, even though I'm not in the household. And I went to father-daughter dances with her. I did it twice with her, you know what I mean? We had bonded. Now I was in my room last night. I couldn't see. I was tossing and turning. And I'm asking God, like, how could I stay in this little girl's life? You know, because I'm like a role model. You know what I mean? I'm the one. She's come out and kissed me for no. She kissed me on my lips. Check this out. The first time she kissed me on my lips, I feel like I did something wrong. I feel like, oh shit. I hope nobody looking. You know what I mean? But it was the love. You know what I mean? Today, like when I scolded at her, I said, babe, why are you doing this? You know what I mean? I try not to verbally abuse her, but I try to, like, you know, tell her that she did wrong. And she said, I'm sorry. And she'll come back and kiss me and sit in my lap and you'll watch TV. And I never did that with my son. But God gave me the opportunity to do it with her. And I'm thanking God that he's doing it, because that makes me a better person. I had to get better with my son and my mother, that it ain't that bad hugging. You know what I mean? I never did that before. That's the first time that a girl sat my lap and kissed me to sit down. That's a good-ass feeling. I never had that shit before. I felt like I was committing incest at first. You know what I mean? So, you know, just do it every day. And I'm getting better with it. No, I mean, now I asked my wife, I talked to her yesterday, and I asked her, could I still be, you know what I mean, in her life? Because she moved on. I was married for 2 years, never acted out. I was becoming a whore before that, did some work, you know what I mean? And it wasn't any no more to cheat no more because she cheated on me, and I stayed in the household, right? Because I said, all right, guys, my turn. You know what I mean? It's my turn. All right? I now know how that shit feels. You know what I mean? And what I did is I stuck and stayed in the household, and she went out on Tuesday, Friday, come back on Sunday, and I couldn't take it no more. You know what I mean? And she got her back her ex. I went there before I came here. You know what I mean? Get some tools. I still got tools in the house, and he was there. You know what I mean? I felt some kind of way. Some rage came up. I said, go in that motherfucker and bust the door down. And what the fuck are you, know what I mean? You cheated on me, now I got this motherfucker in my house and shit like that. You know, I could get a house in Sayreville and bought me some phone calls and I left. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna make a bad situation worse. And I don't know, man, it's just like this program and the cost knowledge, man. We're learning how to grow up, man. I'm maturing in here. I'm gonna be a better father in here. I'm gonna be a better son. You know what I mean? My mother is like, you know, she got Alzheimer's, and it's rough. To drive from South Jersey to go to North and make sure and look in your mother's refrigerator, talk and look and peek in the refrigerator to make sure she got food. I had to go shopping, fill the shit up, and then leave. You know what I mean? Because it's for us. It's four kids. She got four kids. It's hard, man. I don't understand that, though, how I want, like you said, like a single parent, my mother, to raise four kids or more kids, but four kids can't raise one woman. You know what I mean? And my sister, they don't want to do nothing. The one of them, they do some sometimes. My brother in Georgia, you know what I mean? And it's up to me. You know what I mean? So sometimes it get rough. You know what I mean? It get a little rough. But I just pray and ask God, man, and these kids to do the right, do the next best thing. You know what I mean? But parenting in McCurvy is, it was you know what? It was struggle in the beginning, but in the long run, it's the payoff. Now I see the payoff. You know what I mean? I seen the payoff. Now I see my son now. Through all that trouble, all that time, emotional pain, emotional trauma I went through raising him and feeling unappreciated and going through and being nervous but sticking and staying, don't leave, and going to the meetings and going to the anger management and just going to schools and going to Pop Warner where you don't want to go because you're tired from going to work and you got to go straight from work straight to the home and take him, pick him up, make sure he got his uniforms and paying for uniforms that he want to quit. You know what I mean? Like, he want to do track. You go buy the tights and the sneakers and 2 weeks, let's go track. I don't want to go no more. You know what I mean? And, like, it's rough being a parent. But it's rewarding, you know what I mean, at the end. You know what I mean? The payoff be at the end, man. You stick and stay and, like, I'm asking for help. Because I got help from here. You know what I mean? I came to my home group, came to the meetings in the class now, went to the steps. I got the help I needed, man. And, couldn't ask for a better son, man. You know what I mean? And because he'll be a good husband. Because he know how to do carpentry work. He know how to do laundry. He know how to hem pants. You know what I mean? He don't put creases in the pants. But then, no, you know, but I taught him that. I taught him that. You know what I mean? And he know not to get it. You got to give. You know what I mean? Because this is society. Kids think you got to give them all the time. Especially teenagers. They crazy as hell. They all lazy. You know what I mean? Because that's society. Computers, microwave. We coming up. We had to go, I had to put stuff in the oven, wait 45 minutes. We had Jiffy Pop, you know what I mean? But I don't know, man, I hope, no, I share something that helps somebody out, man. I ain't nervous no more, and I'm glad it's over. Thanks for letting me share.